In this week's episode, we talk about how to grow and scale your tuna business, how Mark Zuckerberg is as a reptile, and how to live your best life. Welcome to episode 49 of the No Rep podcast.
Yes, it's 49.
It's
yes.
Episode. Oh, hello. Hello, regal gentleman with book.
What's going on here?
How are you? That's a nice prop.
Is it? Hold on. Are we just bypassing the
no,
things?
No. Let's go. Acknowledging the fact that you have
a book.
A book and glasses. Oh. Anyway, before we get into that, how are we, gentlemen? Is your name Horatio today or something?
Yeah,
like that?
It is indeed, or Morpheus.
And what are you doing, Horatio?
I have a story for us all.
Would you like to share the story, Horatio?
I'll read the story. I don't even know who that is.
I don't know. It's just a posh name.
Oh, is it?
If I was a posh person, I would like to be called Horatio.
Okay, so this is a new segment of the podcast called Storytime with Joe. I do need to actually take these off.
How blind is Danny?
I thought I could see with him. So this is from the book, The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, and I thought it'd be quite a good way to start off the show.
I'm actually quite excited about this.
Have you not heard it?
I've semi-read the book.
Right, okay, hold on. So, the story goes, an American businessman took a vacation to a small coastal Mexican village on doctor's orders, unable to sleep after an urgent phone call from the office first thing in the morning. He walked out to the pier to clear his head, and a small boat with one fisherman had docked, and inside the boat were several large yellowfin tuna. The American complimented the Mexican on the quality of his fish. How long did it take to catch them? The American asked. Only a little while, the Mexican replied, in surprisingly good English. I don't know why that says that.
Racist.
I think that's racist.
Fuck you, Tim Ferriss.
Build a wall. Why don't you stay out and catch more fish? The American asked. I have enough to support my family. Give a few to some friends, the Mexican said as he unloaded them into his basket. But what do you do with the rest of your time? The Mexican looked up and smiled. I sleep late, fish a little, play with my children, take a siesta with my wife, Julia. Apparently she's hot. And stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine, play guitar with my amigos and have a full and busy life, senor. The American laughed and stood tall. Sir, I am a Harvard MBA and I can help you. You should spend more time fishing and with the proceeds buy a bigger boat. In no time you could buy several boats with the increased haul. Eventually you'll have a fleet of fishing boats. He continued. Instead of selling your catch to the middleman, we would directly sell to the consumers, eventually opening up your own cannery. You would control the product, processing, distribution. You need to leave this small coastal village, of course, and move to Mexico City, then LA, and eventually New York, where you could run your expanding enterprise with proper management. We're nearly there.
I'm captivated.
The Mexican fisherman asked, but senor, how long would all this take? To which the American replied, 15 years, 25 years, tops. But then what, senor? The American laughed and said, that's the best part. When the time is right, you'll announce your IPO, sell your company to the stock, sell your company to the stock to become public and very rich. You'll make millions. Millions, senor? Then what? Then you would retire, move to a small coastal village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your kids, take a siesta with your wife, and stroll into the village in the evening where you would sip wine and play guitar with your amigos.
Wow. Is that a million pesos or dollars or does it matter?
Now, I read that story and then I thought that was, obviously my public reading needs to be improved. I'm slightly dyslexic, I read that story. When I read it to Katie as well and she was like, you should read yourself that story more often. And
I can actually imagine her saying that to you as well.
And I think it's quite cool because we're all in a boat. We are somewhere between the Mexican fisherman and the businessman. So like we all live quite fruitful lives. We enjoy ourselves. We take siestas in the afternoon.
Two holidays a year.
You know what I mean? Like, but you get what I'm saying, right?
I get you.
Of us still try and have this kind of MBA Harvard businessman mindset. We're like, let's make it the biggest thing on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. So then we can go back to doing the things that we're already currently doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really powerful message and stuff, because I think like we were actually seeing the way in, we were kind of not chatting about that, but like I was chatting about how much like my enjoyments, if that's a word, are kind of changing from like training to like business. I really enjoy chatting about stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people they get really caught up in, I'm going to do this and this is going to happen and this is what I need to happen to get to the next step. And then I need to push this, and then it's all hustling and selling and all that sort of shit. And they don't spend enough time in the present.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And that's how many times have you, like, maybe, oh, actually, here's a question for you as well. Do you ever, I hope the girls aren't listening to this, but do you ever get like the feelings that I would rather work than like go and like do family time and stuff?
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know if that is not being in the present or just enjoying what I do for work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think it's maybe a bit of both sometimes. It's certainly obviously with the stresses that can come with running a business and stuff like that, yeah, you can get totally wrapped up in it. But then there is other times where it's like I like just kind of sitting on my laptop, mm-hmm. doing some bits, creating some things. Like, I enjoy that process. Mm-hmm. So
do you think it's like it's almost like sprinkle both, so both of their lives together? Mm-hmm. A wee sprinkle, so like have the business side of things, but so learn how to sprinkle the sitting, fishing, drinking wine,
and tacos. You know what I mean? What's your thoughts on the story? Like, how do you feel about it?
So my feeling about it is that I think that I wanted to live a life like the Harvard businessman. Mm-hmm. Grow it, IPO, sell it, millionaire.
Dollar bills.
Right? All the rest of it. But then I think, so yesterday's a good example of this where Hattie was at Katie's mum's. Katie was just in the flat. I drove back from work and then I just kind of went like, do you want to go out for a coffee? Randomly, middle of the afternoon. And then I'm sitting there. Obviously, she's off work at the minute. And then I'm kind of sitting there and I'm going, how cool is it that I could just like do this at lunchtime? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was saying to her, say if I had, right? This is a genuine conversation I had with her yesterday. I was like, say if I had millions in the bank, right? Mm-hmm. I did that whole thing. The only thing that would be different in that very situation is I'd maybe have slightly nicer shoes on, I'd have a nicer watch on, and I'd drive a nicer car. I'd have slightly more rooms and more toilets. Mm-hmm. Right? That's it.
You'd have an unnecessary amount of toilets.
Yeah.
Rich people have too many toilets. Yeah.
That toilet's never shattering.
Yeah. That's like it. Whereas, do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So like that is literally in that moment, in that very moment when you're sitting there, I'm having a coffee, right? And she's sitting there having a tea. The only thing that would be different if you went through all those things, right, is that you would just have slightly nicer material items. Mm-hmm. That's literally the only difference. Now, do I want those items? Yeah, I'm not going to lie and say that I don't. But what I've learned to realize more and more is that I'm actually a little bit more thankful for the things that I currently have rather than not liking the things I don't have.
And always wanting.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes down to like folks' like ego beliefs. Like they kind of measure their success on what like society deems as being successful. Mm-hmm. Like, so they measure their success on either what they do as a job, what they have, what they don't have, and those kind of societal like norms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, see if you took all that, so say you did have all that, right? See if you took it all away, what would you be left with? Mm. Do you know what I mean? People need to be okay with that, with being and stuff. Does that make sense?
It totally does. And I think it's only something that I've began to learn probably within the past year is like, where I'm at the now, right? Like, got a nice flat, got a dog, got a baby, like can do this during the day. Like 5 years ago, I would want to have this. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, now that you've got it, you're like, don't want it. Mm-hmm. You want something else. Mm-hmm. And I think that will always happen, but I think that's the nature of people who are, I don't know, maybe a little bit more self-motivated or driven. Yeah. They're always going to want to chase something else down. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Anyone you kind of listen to that has made it, One of the first things I always say is they need to be grateful. Mm-hmm. They practice gratitude and they all do it, even though they've made it. In our eyes, and we look like, wow, man, they're always talking about how grateful they are and like how much they show that. And a lot of them will maybe pray and show their gratitude that way and all the rest of it. So I think it's something you need to continuously do. And it probably elevates you as well, because you're more appreciative of your a bit more content. You notice the present moment a bit more. You probably notice more as well, just in general, what's going on.
Just from your experiences as well, and I think you can speak about this authentically, like, you probably appreciate things more as well if you've lost everything.
Yeah. I never thought that would ever happen to me. You never think when you're smashing it that this is ever going to be away, because you have the mindset, I would assume that you three of us have a similar mindset where it is like, build the empire, build the growth, I'm going to succeed, I'm going to do well, and there's not going to be any other way that's not going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. I'd say we've all got a fucking similar mindset with that. I've had that mindset since as long as I can remember. So see, all of a sudden, when it all just came fucking crumbling down, and I was sitting in the brew, I'm like, oh my God, I was earning fucking a lot of money. A year, and I was doing really fucking well, and I was a lecturer, and I was respected, and I had loads of clients, and had the BM, like, was going on 3-4 holidays a year, getting tattoos at £400 a month, just because I could, and it just all went, and I was like, oh my God, sitting in my ma's, sitting in my bedroom, with a wardrobe that was fabric, because I didn't have money to buy a fucking new wardrobe, like, earning £430 a month, thinking, wow, man, didn't expect that to happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, complete fucking and utter disbelief that, so I then, you then kind of convince yourself a wee bit, well, this is it now. This is my life now. And I had, like, say, right, cool, if I can just get myself, like, a wee flat, get a nice 95, and I'll sit with my glass of red wine every night, and like, I can get a takeaway and that sometimes. I'd convince myself that was just going to be what I was going to be doing.
Do you remember the car you bought?
And that was really it. I bought a car at £650. I hit a fucking, was it a Hyundai?
It was a toaster.
A Hyundai. I've got pictures of it, right? Yeah. And it was £650, right? Because that's what I could afford, yeah, to get myself to work. And I was like, right, brilliant, man. I was so chuffed with it, so happy with it. Obviously, going for driving a nice BM white one series. First car was a big white BM, man. To that, right? I'm like, oh, this is like people's first motor. Mm-hmm. I was genuinely felt like I was going back the way, do you know what I mean? And then it just fucking driving through the street, they locked down, me and my sister going on a nice walk, and the car just halved in two, just douche, hit the ground, proper halved in two. And I was like, sitting there, right? Like, sitting there in the middle of the road, like, traffic all going by, and I have a busy street. The car's like completely fucked. I've got exes gone by. Two exes drove by me on the same day, looking at me like with this motor, and I'm like, one of the moments you're like, usually you want your ex to see you doing well. It was like the opposite. The genuinely car was like, it had been probably wrote off, put back together, and then I bought it and didn't know, obviously. That's what I was saying. People say, aye, this car's been wrote off before. They've put it back together, sold it. This was a death trap. I was like, excellent. So that was like that was another like low point after that, because I'm like, fucking, I sold it to the scrappy for £60, and I was buzzing. I was buzzing just to get the £60. I was like, fuck, man, like, I was so excited. So being in that position, sitting in your bed fucking greeting, because you're like, I can't believe this has fucking happened, like, I can't believe this is my life, to then like getting to where I am now, and I'm like, I'm back to like where I was. And I know that I'm saying like my life was bad when it was at the low point, but
it's not what you wanted.
It's definitely not where I wanted to fucking be and where I envisioned myself, and I wasn't going to get anywhere.
It's not
in that
millionaire
position.
Selling your fishing
not,
business.
Definitely not. My empire wasn't
tins
toast.
Of Danny tuna.
I've got an empire I want to build, and I wasn't definitely going to be doing it with my wee 600-pound motor fucking looking at it, getting took to the scrappy. Like, oh my God, man.
Fucking hell.
So now I practice gratitude every single day. Some days it's actually mad when how grateful I feel, man. Like, I feel overwhelmed with gratitude sometimes, because I'm like fucking just sitting in the kitchen, like you're saying, man, at 7:30 in the morning, I'll sit in my coffee and I'll be like, I'm not rushing about because I need to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm dictating the day when I've got things on. And I think that I'm like, my God, I don't take that for granted at all.
Yeah. That's probably one of the biggest things I value is freedom, I think. It's one of the biggest things I value is freedom. Mm-hmm. And having that to some degree. Again, I don't think anybody's truly free to do whatever the hell they want, but more so than most. And that's probably something that I value.
But then you think about it, like, So the opposite of what we're doing is get a job, right? Mm-hmm. Get a career, like have a guaranteed salary, consistent salary. We can plan better, we can save better. We, in a way, we're not guaranteed that. Mm-hmm. So like our choice is to never be guaranteed a wage, mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so we, well, I say that, but us working hard, us showing up, us have taken the stress on and not having guaranteed income all the time, that's like, that's our way of working hard to ensure that we have income, that we build the success for ourselves. So there's always like the people who have the job is like, they might not have the freedom, but they have a guaranteed wage, oh, all the time.
Do you know, don't, me, so me like, you look at the kind of frequently argue, yeah. about this as well, because yeah. she's just like, oh, well, why don't you just put £700 away in savings this month? And I'm like, it doesn't really work. No. Like, we need
we
to
don't
like,
know what's going
to
come out in business, what
business
things
wise,
we want to do.
Volatility, yeah. stuff like that. Like, it's not just as simple as, oh, I get paid today, let's just fucking chuck everything into savings. Or, oh, let's, oh, you've got, Evan, you've got £1,000 left over. Why don't you just buy this fridge? And I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way, honey. No. Like, do you know what I mean? And yeah. it's difficult, obviously, to like, I suppose for someone that's like not in our space to realise the volatilities and stuff that we have. But no, there's definitely pros and cons
either way
to both, to being kind of self-employed, run your own shit, or to have a kind of like a quote unquote kind of normal career. In terms of like your own guys' experiences with kind of running a business or like from the ground up and stuff, like what's your kind of pros and cons with it, or your frictions and stuff that you've experienced?
I'd say the pros, like I previously mentioned, is 100% the freedom element of it. Mm-hmm. So like if I was working, well, even when I was working other jobs, mm-hmm. this is what I did anyway. Like I gave people free programs. People always asked me like, what should I do for this? What should I do for that? It was a thing that I was doing for free anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think for me, the one of the biggest pros is freedom. And then the second one has got to be, I'm doing what I would do if money was no object. Mm-hmm. Like this is what I would do. Like I enjoy this very thing that we are doing right now. I love it. Right?
Podcasting,
chatting shit, fucking creating content. I love doing that. Training. Mm-hmm. I love doing that. So it's like, it's just the shit that I like to do. Yeah. And it does.
Paid for your hobbies.
Yeah. It fries my brain when I heard a quote actually before, and it was like, if you're doing good at a job that you hate, imagine how good you would do at a job that you loved.
Oh yeah,
that's great.
Do you know what I mean? So like, and this is the thing, like I never really did good at the jobs that I didn't like, because mm-hmm. I just couldn't bring myself to do them, because I was like, what's the fucking point in this?
There's friction.
What? Yeah, they're totally. Whereas I know so many people that are like really, really good at their fucking jobs, but they hate it. Mm.
Do you know what I was like?
What the fuck?
Do you know what fucking bugged me as well is like, I used to work for Vodafone, and I done sales, mm-hmm. and I was good at it and I fucking enjoyed it, like working in the shop floor and all that. And I had a manager, shout out PJ, because he was a great guy. Then he left to open up a shoe shop, which was a bit mad but weird, random. But then he left, and then I got another manager in, and she was a fucking cow. Did not like me at all, don't know why. But it's funny how like having that, just that change in management, somebody else impacts your energy. I went from loving what I'd done, loving my 100%. Work, to hating it.
100%. I've spoken about this before, and it's like, I've had jobs, like even when it comes to the financial side of things as well, it's like I've had jobs that paid £5 an hour that I love doing. Mm-hmm. Like I love doing them. And I've had jobs that paid £25 an hour, £30 an hour that I fucking hated doing. Mm-hmm. Like I hated it. And I think that a lot of it does come down to like the what you're working under. Mm-hmm. Or who you're working with, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? Because yep. the people that you work with directly impact how your day goes.
You're spending most of your time with them, especially
if they're above you. Yeah. Right? So if someone was above you, see the whole office politics thing. Yep. If I was to ever go back into that environment, I could not tolerate or handle any shit.
No, not at all.
I just couldn't do it.
So I can speak to like, so I was a coach, then get a lecturing gig, and I was a lecturer for a year. So I'd been a coach maybe 3-4 years in the fitness industry, working 4-5 years. So I'd been doing it all, being self-employed, then get the lecturing job, went back to that office environment. Mm-hmm. I'd like see the shit that people give each other, mm-hmm. either right in front of them or behind their back. It was constant, man. Mm-hmm. It was constant. And I was sitting there like, I fucking hate this. Mm-hmm. I absolutely hate this.
Had other people confront me
and all that about stuff and getting dead riled up and all that. And I'm like, you're getting annoyed about shit that Disney even just goes like that right over my head. Doesn't and they're all matter. Getting riled up and they were talking about each other. And I was like, obviously that was the last year I'd done it. And for a year I was like,
oh, Everlast, it was the worst. See the whole kind of management tier structure thing. Like you would get area managers that would come in and like analyse the gym. They'd come into the gym in their suit and all that. There was this one guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he was a fucking tadger, man. Absolute tadger. And I remember actually one time I told Katie this story. So Katie came into like, I don't know, she's giving me a coffee or something. She came out to get keys. I can't even remember, but she came in and this guy there, fuck it, his name is Glenn. He's a fucking asshole.
Fuck you, Glenn.
Fuck you, Glenn. He came in and he's like fucking trying to pick up out the gym that me and Andy had fucking worked hard to try and maintain. And Katie walks in, she's done up all night, she's on her way to work and all that. And he's like, is that your girlfriend? He's from down south. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, how'd you pull that off? And I went, I pulled that off because I'm not a fucking tadger and a loser like you. That's why. You're a fucking idiot. Do you know what I mean? So like these, and then they just have no concept. Like they think like that's their world and they're the king of that world.
Aye.
When you see like in the outside world, as soon as you step out the doors of that gym, mm-hmm. you are a fucking loser. Aye. Well, you're a loser inside it as well. But you get what I mean? Like people's
you're a loser by role inside it though. That's uh-huh. it.
Like people's title at their work becomes their identity. Mm-hmm. And I know it kind of has. For us as well, it does for everybody, but like people get so fucking tied up in the office, like, well, I am assistant to the regional manager.
Excuse me. Operations manager.
Yeah.
Operations. Operations manager. Yeah. Coming to my office. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What did I do? I fucking sat my phone all day.
And do you know what? The gym probably ran absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. I was like, see, we both worked in Pure Gym, and you probably got this as well. There was a period of time where I was like, do you know what? I might actually want to be like an assistant manager or a manager in a Pure Gym, because I thought the security and all
decent
that.
Decent wage, blah, 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 be good.
I looked at all the stuff that they had to do, and I was like, there's not a chance. Do you mind Andy Leavers?
Oh,
there's not a chance he was doing half the stuff that Pure Gym wanted him to
he
do.
He was great though.
Yeah, he was
the best manager ever come in. The guy never worked in fitness, had never trained, had never done anything.
Oh, you haven't mentioned this guy.
The gym just went, it was running incredible. Everyone was over the moon happy because he did not give one fuck, man. He made day to day nothing. It was like,
there would be something, there'd be a problem, right? And he would just kind of go, what would yous do? And I go, I would leave it alone. That's what we'll do then.
It was brilliant. It was excellent.
Then he would just go into his office, man. I'm pretty sure he was just chatting up all the members and all that.
Oh, yeah, he was a pure fucking quote-unquote player, man. He's got a player and all that now.
Does he? Good on him.
Aye. So he moved down south, I think, to be the operation manager at Haven or Butlins or something like that.
He came in, so no fitness experience. He was like a blue jacket, like manager down there, came into Pure Gym basically operations manager on his CV to further himself.
A commercial gym, see the operations manager role, mm-hmm. the second under the general manager is the best role to have. And I'll tell you why. Because you don't have the stresses and pressures that the general manager gets because the gym's got to shit. It's on the general manager, it's on the top guy.
Yeah, you're so like, I'm just assistant.
If you're the second guy, you're like, I'm just doing what he's telling me to do, which is fuck all. So like, and it's the best one, so you're like not having to be like at the desk or do all the kind of cleaning or all the whatever, even though I had to still, like mm-hmm. I was still fucking cleaning treadmills and all that, which is mad. But like, you don't really have as much of that to do. And then you can like delegate tasks, but then so it's the best. That is the best job. I would go back to that.
Do you know what was great?
I would go back to that.
There was this guy. I'm not going to name drop him. Just
pussy.
On the off chance that he listens to the podcast.
Just do it.
But his name is Schmally. It rhymes with Schmally, right? But basically, he was like the fucking regional manager for like all of Pure Gym, like the top dog. And he would come into the gym after you open them and check them and all that stuff, and he was like feared. He would like walk in the room and everyone's like, oh my god, he's coming, right? But then they restructured and they basically said, you've not got a job anymore. Oh. Right, so he then moved from this top dog regional whatever into a gym manager. We had a vacancy for a gym manager, so he went from this job into the gym manager, and he was so caught up in his own like, I'm amazing, I know how to do this, I could do this in my sleep, blah, 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 right? And then he eventually decided, do you know what, actually, I'm going to be a PT again. Because he was saying to us, right, if I wanted to, I could run, tomorrow, fill out my PT diary. Could fill it out like that, right? And he failed miserably.
Wow.
Miserably. But that's like folk getting caught up in, no, I know how to do it.
Yeah.
I know the things.
Is this the wee ginger guy?
Aye.
What a fud, man. Did I not argue with him multiple times?
I used to be.
I'm sure, like, just before I left or he left, we had a heavy.
Aye.
He tried to confront me about something. No. When he first came in the door, he popped me up because Robin or something had told me something. And I told him I could go on rent, and that was it.
Yeah.
So obviously I went on rent and he came in, he's like, you can't go on it. And I went like, but first conversation, he's like, you can, he's like, but obviously I did.
I've got a few clients who are PTs and like the likes of like JDs and stuff like that. And the struggle for them to get on as a rent PT is like unreal. Like, they want to keep them on shifts, they want to keep them cleaning treadmills, and it's the fucking most backwards thing on planet Earth.
Yep.
Like, I've got countless coaches who I'm coaching now who are like busy PTs, but they can't expand their business because they need to spend 16 hours doing classes and cleaning treadmills.
Absolute shite.
And it's like, why are you doing £5 an hour work when you can charge £35 an hour for your time as a PT?
Do you know,
it's fucking bonkers,
this is the problem,
man.
Right, so any gym owner that has staff, right? Obviously, commercial gyms and gyms like that type of vibe, not like box gyms and stuff like that, but like commercial type gyms, they obviously have they don't pay their staff, right? So that they want buy-in. Now, if you want buy-in as someone who has staff and you own a gym, salary them up and you'll have a better gym.
Some of them are paid. I think the ones at JDR paid.
But then you pay back for rent.
Do you not pay back the rent?
Is that right?
Aye.
Yeah.
So you're not, pure
gym.
It's just level.
Is that
paying more.
Like in pure gym, they're paid, but then they end up paying more, so they're out £100 a month.
And they do that to have more control because you're a staff member. But pure gym, they cling on to staff because people do leave so much because it's so
volatile. That's a massive churn.
Because they're in no fucking money. And you're wanting them, you're treating them and like shite a lot of the time, wanting them to do this, bend over backwards for you. And you look at the managers who are in commercial gyms like JD and Pure Gym, and they can tell they don't even fucking care about the gym.
It used to be.
There's no connection between the gym and them. PTs
used to make salaries, like seeing like Fitness First and like Nuffield.
PTs, they'd be getting paid
like 30 grand a year or something like that. Like, and you work 8 hours a day or whatever, and you do a couple of sessions, a couple of classes, boom.
Nuffield still pay.
Do they?
Aye.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's not great money.
Because when you PT, they give you 15%.
Yeah.
Do you not need to like do 30 PT sessions a week to like earn like £4 a session or something? It's fucking something. That's obviously an exaggeration.
But you don't have to do any of the sale, any of the whatever. You just get allocated the person.
You do all the classes, the cleaning.
Yeah, classes.
It's part of your thing. Eh? So you're still, definitely still limiting yourself.
For sure.
You're still limiting yourself.
So, we've always chatted about like your business. Your pros, your cons.
Was my pros we were talking about.
That was your.
The cons, paying tax. It's probably the only con.
Trying to figure out how to actually
probably
do
the
it.
that's the only thing I can think of. Yeah, yeah, if you get like six people leaving one day as well, which has happened. That's not nice.
No.
But like, yeah. So the volatility. But hopefully, like, if you've been in the game long enough, you can kind of hope. Like, again, we all get caught sometimes, like, but it's like making sure that you've got systems in place so that a lot of these things don't happen. You get people kind of constantly coming in as people leave. Mm-hmm. So like the volatility can be a bit of a con. Paying tax is definitely a con. Taxation is theft.
Do you know, this is
tax, man.
I don't know if it's much a pro or a con, but it's more just like something that I've kind of noticed from like growing the business from the ground and stuff. See, the further you the further you get into it, like, I feel that you lose kind of connection with a lot of the people that you were connected to. See, your friends and all that, people don't really understand what it is that you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So like loads of times that folk would ask me like, oh, do you want to go and do this or do you want to go do that? And I said, no, I've actually got to do this. I'm running a seminar tonight or I'm doing this. And it's, you almost get like a tut from people like, oh. Like, he's doing that business thing again.
I think I've been quite lucky in that regard. I don't think I've ever really had that.
Really?
Yeah. Like I've like see the like my core group of boys. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know what it is. They're just like super solid. Shout out boys. They're just solid, man. I don't know. Maybe they do it behind my back, but I don't hear about it, so I don't fucking care. But
it's actually because you're never away from them, mate. You're always fucking sending them memes. Like
they don't fucking reply.
It's because you're not actually doing business, mate. Yeah, you're just on Instagram.
I don't know. I can't say that I've truly experienced that a great deal. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
And if
people aren't in my life as much as they were in the past anyway, I probably didn't really like them that much to begin with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it wasn't like a PT thing or business thing. It probably would have happened anyway.
Yeah.
So I've been relatively lucky in that regard that I've not had to rip off many, many band-aids, so to say. I don't know. What about you?
Years ago, like when everyone I hung about was mad into the Bev, including myself, but I started to break away from it just because of business, because I was so invested in it and so interested in it. Started to recognise booze wasn't serving me, drugs weren't serving me, taking mandate the weekend just definitely wasn't productive in it. For the following fucking Friday still, you're like, I can't feel what that's anymore. So I started realising that, obviously started to notice the environments. That would help me out environments at one day and the things I was doing in the environments.
What would you say to folk, or what are your thoughts on trying to balance that and life?
Like business and life?
Business and life.
Well, the whole reason that I feel like people should get into business is to enhance their life, not to like take over it.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's so that you're able to do more of what you currently enjoy. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to do things on your terms. People speak about the volatility and the fucking scarcity and all the rest of it that it comes with like running a business. But at the end of the day, see if you're able to run a business and make the average UK salary, right? Mm-hmm. Say you're able to do that, but you just have more autonomy on your time.
Yep.
That's success. That's more success than someone that's potentially earning 20, 30, 40, 50 grand more than you, because they have to put in fucking an application to HR just to get fucking 2 days off.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or like if their daughter's sick, they have to like fucking make like. Yep. Do you know what I mean?
You need to ask somebody to go to the fucking Abby's funeral.
Can you cover me? Like, I know plenty of people, and you'll be able to speak on this as well, Evan, that are like, say, nurses, for example, and for them to try and swap shifts or get a day if they have something, and with the shortage that they have on staff, it's like it's almost impossible. So it's like nah, they don't care. Like you have a job to do.
Aye,
and that's it.
You know, I've said this in the podcast before, man. I take my hat off to nurses as well, because the way they work is...
They're not even getting breaks now.
12 and a half hour shift.
They're just having
mental.
12 and a half hour night shift.
Aye.
But then you'll speak to someone that I've done like 30 shifts in a row.
You're speaking to them, do you get a break? 10 minutes.
Aye.
I get 10 minutes. There was no opportunity for a break. Like, all right,
however, when I was in fucking Hermione's Hospital, when Hattie was not well, I like poked my head out the door and looked down the corridor, and there's just like 16 fucking people in scrubs just standing there. There's my daughter's screaming, fucking heart rate 185. I'm just like, hello.
Do you know, I saw
that. But do you think they're at a point now, right, that either working all the time or having to do all these shifts, but they're probably burnt out and just fed up, and they've probably just gave up.
They might not actually be, although like you're a nurse or you're a doctor, but you might not actually be connected to that role. Do you know what I mean? That might just be a job. Vodafone. I don't care about your SIM card 10. Aye. But I don't care about your baby. Yeah. Fuck you, Hattie.
You've spoke about it a lot. I can't remember what you call it. There's a term for it when like you don't drop something or don't stop something because of the past time you've put in for it.
It's a sunk cost fallacy.
So
basically, a sunk cost fallacy is like you're unwilling to like give up or stop something or change something because of the amount of time that you've spent doing that.
How many people do you think go to uni and that is the case? Put a number
high 90s.
Easy, right?
High 90s.
Easy. People are like, I don't want to, 3 years, but they're putting in, I don't want to do this. And they just, and then they just stick with that. Finish it and then get into that job and then just, that's it. And they're fucking miserable.
The thing is, I was whether I knew it or not, I was the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. I did 1.95. 100, no, I did 97% of my college mm-hmm. course and then dropped out.
Wow,
well, really?
I just didn't finish it. I was like, ah, fuck this.
On what?
Just left.
No.
Fitness?
Just couldn't be asked. I was like, do you know what? This is
no, no. What were you studying?
Oh, right, sorry. Sports coaching development sport.
And you just passed it?
So I never did my HND section of it, did my HNC. Wow. Got to the very end of it. I was like, I can't really be asked mm-hmm. doing this. Left, got a job, building up, mm-hmm. getting to like a good point. Doing really well. Ah, fuck this. Mm-hmm. Left. That's, so like, see the sunk cost fallacy thing?
Yep.
It's never really...
Uh-huh. Same.
Registered with me. Same. I could get to something 99%, it's nearly finished. I'm like, ah.
Aye. Well, I went to college 4 years.
I do it with TV shows as well. Sorry, go on.
I swear they are. I can watch 40 minutes or something and go, that's a shite. Bang.
Yeah, do TV shows. Like, I'll get, like,
Amanda's
fucking...
is, do you know what I'm... See if I start something like a TV show, I will give it a season. So regardless of what the first couple of episodes are, right, it's getting at least a season. Whereas Amanda's, I don't like.
See my Netflix. Game of Thrones. Like, was it saying when you've watched it?
Aye.
What did I can't remember? What it
the
says.
Time remaining or whatever.
The B section on Netflix and it says like shit shows you've watched or something. Start uh-huh. back again. Whatever. I'm fucking on. thousands.
Like, jump back in. It says jump back
in. That's something like that. I've watched 10 minutes. I'm like, that's a shite. Yeah. You know, same you're saying about like I'd went to college, but in my mind I'm like, I want to go to uni. That's the project. That's the kind of path. Mm-hmm. College, go and do sport in uni. Get my degree. And I was like buzzing about it. Done the 4 years in college. And done 3 weeks in uni, I was like, this is fucking shite, and then just dropped out. I'd only stuck to college for uni, mm-hmm. but I'd done 4 years at college, hated uni, and just, I was like, nah, left.
I don't know, I think it maybe serves, sometimes it serves me for good, sometimes it serves me for bad, where I'm maybe just too stubborn for my own good, and if I'm like that, if this
but
is, like,
in,
if I right? feel like if it's a waste of my time, I'll just be like, ah, oh, fuck
it. I think it's good, because then you just, if you drop it, you'd learn from it. If it worked out bad, and something didn't work out well, you've taught a lesson, right? You're like, oh, well.
Yeah. Well, Evan, there was something I was going to ask you, right? And it was, you raised a point to us the other week, and it was, you said that, when do you recognise when you're at your best? And I wanted to get more on what you meant by that, because I didn't actually know truly what you meant by that.
Yep.
Like, when you recognise when you're at your best.
So, something something I've been thinking about a lot recently as well, just like with my own life, my clients and various other bits and bobs. And basically what I kind of mean by that is that people just life. Do you know what I mean? They get up, they go to work, they maybe go for a takeaway at the weekend, they go for a meal, then it's Monday again and they get up.
Very quickly, have you seen the film Nobody?
No.
Nope. So no Better Call Saul, the guy who plays Better Call Saul. It's him, he's the main character in Nobody,
mm-hmm.
right? And basically he's had a former life where he was like, basically some CIA auditor,
mm-hmm.
badass guy, could kill everyone, yada yada yada, mm-hmm. right? But he's now started a family life,
mm-hmm.
and that's his life now. And even like his wife and his kids just think he's like a nobody, and he's just living this repetitive life. He's just like an accountant. He like misses the bus, he gets the bus to work every day, he misses the bins every week.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
His wife says that, oh, you've missed the bins again, and then this loop just plays, every day's the same, and he's just doing life until this event happens and then the movie starts. But it's very, it just reminded me of that film.
No, it's, and literally this is the thing, people fucking, they maybe go to school, they go to uni, they get a job, and then they just job, and they just life, and there's no passion, and there's no, like, thing to really put their energy into, right? And what I mean by, like, recognising when you're at your best is that when do you feel you are your greatest self, right? So that could be, us doing our job.
Mm.
I fucking love my job.
Mm-hmm.
I love helping people. I love teaching people. I love running seminars. And you can get, it's actually, it's called an archetype, right? So the type of person that you are, and you get various different archetypes. And like one of them could be like a performer or something. And that's basically like you thrive in front of people, teaching seminars, nice. Performing, all that sort of shit, right? So basically, like, figuring out when you're at your best, it's to live your best life. Do you know what I mean? And that doesn't need to be your career.
Mm-hmm.
That could be like a hobby and stuff. Like, do you feel you're your best self when you are outside, when you're paddleboarding, when you're up a hill, when you're cooking,
mm-hmm.
like all that sort of stuff? And basically the kind of the long and short of it is that you need to try and figure that out so that you can live your best life. So if you are just in the grind and you're working every single day and there's no passion in your life, before you know it, you'll be 50, 60, 70 and you will have done fuck all. You won't have done the things that you love.
There's a thing I actually want to talk about in the podcast. We'll do it in a future episode, is regrets of the death. And I seen this thing on Twitter and I kind of went into it and dove in, and it kind of speaks a little bit on that. And it was like how they, like people on their deathbed, and it was the greatest that they had. And it's kind of like that, that they were just too busy just doing life. Like just being a passenger in it rather than taking control and doing things. But I've got something that I was thinking about just as you were saying that there. And I think that everybody is at their best self when they're like active and taking care of themselves. So like, even though it may be a little bit shitty at the time, it's like, see when people are at their healthiest, where they maybe don't necessarily have aches and pains, they maybe look the best in their swimsuit, or like they just look the best with their clothes off, or like, see when people are in that frame of mind or in that season of their life, I tend to find, well, for me personally, for sure, I don't know about everyone else, but I could probably bet a lot of money that most people do feel this way, that they're at their best selves when they're probably the most active.
Yeah, it transcends into like the other areas and stuff.
Right.
And see, the thing is I think people like get too caught up into like that, but like they're training to lose weight or they're training for whatever. They should be chasing a state. So chase that state of happiness, confidence, and whatever.
Like, think about the people that complain the most, right? So the people that complain the most about things are people that aren't taking responsibility for like the shit that they do, right? So people will complain that, oh, my fucking jeans are too tight or this dress doesn't fit me, because you're not accepting responsibility for the things that you do. Or, oh, I've got no money this week. Well, that's maybe because you're not accepting responsibility for your finances. Or, oh, fucking, I can't remember the last time I went away or the last time me and the missus had sex. Well, are you fucking taking responsibility for putting a wee bit more effort in your relationship?
You're acting a bit too much.
So see all these...
Are you choking the chicken?
Yeah. So see all these people that are fucking like just serial complainers, they're also serial not doers. So they're just not doing things, they're not being active. And when I say be active, I don't mean out in the streets jogging, but I mean like, are they being proactive in the decisions that they make that are actually going to benefit them? Do you know what I mean? It resorts back to everything. Oh, my knees are fucked. What are you doing? What are you doing for your knees?
Lots of rehab, bro.
Well, there you go. Are they feeling better? Yeah, I'm fucking feeling my best self. Right? So when you're actually doing shit, that's when you're going to be feeling your best self. And that's just popped into my head right there when you were saying that.
Yeah. But people like to play the victim.
Why?
Do you know what I mean? People like to, because it's an excuse for staying the same, or it's a reason to stay the same. Do you know what I mean? Oh, I can't do that because my knee. Right?
It's easier, isn't it?
That the reality that they've created for themselves is comfortable, and some people actually find comfort in the pain. Do you know what I mean? So see all that, like their body image, how they feel, how they look and all that. Yeah, it's tough, but they find comfort in that pain.
Pain in terms of like them not being happy?
Them not being happy.
Really?
Do you know what I mean? Some people, they're attached to that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because that's what they know, that's their reality.
I think that the other side of all things good is fucking just taking a bit of action. Do you know what I mean? The all side of all things good is just taking a bit of action. I think if you don't take any sort of action or personal responsibility for anything that you do ever, you'll just fucking stay stuck. And that's it. Isn't it? Madness. You're all looking at your phone.
No, do you know why I'm looking at my phone?
You both just pulled out your phone at the exact same time.
Do you know why I'm looking at my phone? Because I'm getting fucking Threads notifications. Daft.
Do you know what? It's my watch has been pinging it, because I turned off all my notifications on my watch, right? But then obviously if you download a new app, it just fucking goes, whoop,
ping,
we got some
ping,
notifications
ping,
for
ping,
you. And
ping,
I've been getting
ping.
Them throughout this fucking...
Oh, constant.
I know.
Constant.
So we were playing on it this morning.
Yeah.
Danny's slow to catch up on what it is.
By like 2 hours.
I only found out yesterday.
You just found out 2 hours before me. I found out your hours. You just find
You're
out about this.
So behind the
You're
times.
You're so behind. You're so behind the times. Right, so first off, right, this is Mark... just like, I'm going to annoy you, Elon. I'm going to start
You think so?
Something the exact same as you, bro. This is how billionaires trash talk.
But do it better, do you think?
This is how billionaires trash talk.
Do you think it's that petty? Or do you think that it's
100%. See,
have you seen it?
It's petty as fuck, right?
It's Twitter.
It is Twitter.
It's like, you have, people fight, right? They're trash talks. I'm going to fuck your bitch, man. Like, all this shit. They're like, I'm going to create an app the exact same as his. I'm going to get under his skin that way. I can't wait to see what Elon's...
My app dick's bigger than your app dick.
Just imagine what Elon's response is going to be.
But this is the thing, right? See Mark Zuckerberg, right? All he really does is just copy everyone else. So he made Facebook. I'll give him credit for that, right? Someone else made Snapchat.
I've seen the movie though. Did he not
steal it for somebody?
Oh,
did he?
No, was that not like Napster or
can
something?
We get clarification, Paul.
No, he stole it off of the thing.
Is it the
Wasselberg twins that went to
the
same uni?
They went to court. The rowers.
The website, and then he took the idea.
Right, so this fucking just goes into exact. So the cunt's a snake, right? So
he is a reptile.
So he fucking stole Facebook to begin with, which I didn't even know about. But then think about this, right? So Snapchat comes along, Snapchat stories. We're going to do Facebook and Instagram stories. He bought Instagram, someone else's app, right? Someone else made that. I'm going to buy it, right? Yep. Bought Instagram. Twitter's come up. He just copies. They just copy. Oh, fucking Elon Musk, right? Let's get everybody paying for Twitter. We'll give you a fucking blue tick. That means that you are verified. What does Meta do? What does fucking the reptilian do? Does the exact same fucking... He just copies everyone. He's a snake.
And these lawyers
and the only,
are that
the
good.
The only fucking original idea he had was the whole Oculus and fucking Metaverse.
Oculus?
Which lost
That's
him,
not even an original idea. That's which, like one player one.
Which
That's...
lost him 15 billion.
Wow. Jesus.
His only idea has lost him 15 billion.
Right. I don't know
if I'm going to post this, but because then
you'll get banned.
He might just ban me.
You disappear.
So please don't ban me, but you're a fucking, he's a snake.
How buzzing would you be if you became a billionaire just nicking other cunt's ideas?
Me. Madness.
Mate, that was literally like fucking at uni. I'm like, can you send me your report? I'd make it better. And I'd get a higher grade.
Do you not say that? Just take ideas and just make them better.
See, the thing is as well, see, when we
anything we say,
someone
just,
else has said it.
Is regurgitated from fucking other people's stuff.
Right. Literally.
Definitely.
Let's just see all my wee nuggets of wisdom. They're not
definitely
mine.
Definitely.
Everything on earth is
they are not mine.
Already in existence.
I know. But
if you think about it.
Yeah, because what is the... it's not inspiration and comparison. Basically, there's a saying like, as long as you like take inspiration from it, but you don't just fucking outright copy it.
Mm-hmm. That's literally the business model of Mark Zuckerberg is he just literally copies. Has he ever had an original idea that has worked and generated money?
Well, even the one that you're saying about the Oculus, that's just from what?
Oculus?
That's just from Ready Player One.
Is it?
Aye.
And then he did
the
whole Metaverse thing.
I think they lost.
Fact check someone. 15 billion off the back of that. Like they're down. And then I think I seen an Alex Hormozy thing. He's like, he might make it back in one fell swoop through Threads. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? But I see the thing is, like, in fact, so I was on it, right? I think it's dog shit because like I'm on it and I'm seeing bullshit already. I'm seeing somebody like eat a cake that looks like a shoe. And I'm like, how do I not see this brain rot?
The mistake is the fact that they're allowing you to post pictures and videos, just keep it a text, because guess what Instagram's for?
Pictures and videos.
It's a bit weird, but they're conjoined apps, so I don't see how that makes any sense.
I quite like it because, well, Kath Rehorn, King Copy, was chatting on my threads today. Mm-hmm. About it, and she said that like Twitter's like a monologue, whereas Threads is like
it's a monologue if you don't have followers.
Yeah, exactly. So see, unless you're fucking mega followers, daft, lots of people following you, my brain stopped working there.
Yeah,
it's literally just your own monologue. Whereas already, I'm speaking to people that I never speak to on mm-hmm. Threads. Mm-hmm. 2 hours in,
I think. So you made a point on my thread. We're threading. We're fucking threading already.
We're thread friends. What are you doing?
Right. Evan's point. I'll read out Evan's point so I sound smarter. So I said, I wonder if this thing will last. I've been actively using Twitter and I quite like it. It's like, will this take over with a flop? And Evan, you said, I reckon it will last. Threads will be like what Facebook used to be. Post something, more interaction from your pals, actual conversations, not just in DMs. Twitter will remain the risky goat that it is, but both will live in harmony.
Yep.
And I do believe that. I didn't think that until you mentioned that.
Do you remember Facebook used to be for like communicating? You would post a status, people would speak in the status. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what used to happen. When was the last time you post a Facebook status?
You shouldn't do that. You post a Facebook status, you're a dork.
You're a dork.
Or somebody's mum. Or
you're a mo.
Not even a mo. I think it's grands now. I think
my dad is the grands.
You know, Facebook, grands now. Facebook is just, should just be called oversharing, because that's all everybody does. People will post something that this is just kept to herself, man.
Do you remember
the fucking, like, the woman who was, it went viral, the woman that's posting holiday pictures, and it was like beach, beach food, beach drinks, beach picture of her fanny, food, beach, whatever. Do you not know? So she obviously just like fucking highlighted, and then it went
and
viral.
It the same.
And it just fucking went like, oh, I didn't think you meant to upload that picture. And then fucking like people would screenshot it and went everywhere. This is like 10 years ago.
Hell, I love shit like that, man. I absolutely love shit. But that's what Facebook is. It's fucking folk sharing stuff. And it's always like, fucking things like, people should care more about people. Like, people like thinly veiled, digs at people. Shut up.
But this is, I jump onto that. So the thing that I like more about Twitter is that I know you've got the For You page, but see when I just click on following, I get to consume the content I want to see from who I want to see it. And like, I'm in control of it. Yeah, you can go on For You and you can see the fucking, the shit that's on there. If I open up Threads, even though I follow Evan, fucking, and like four other people on it so far, right? Because I didn't do the thing where I follow all my people that I follow.
I did.
I'm just getting fucking throbbed by like people eating fucking shoes that look like cakes and like fucking all this just brain rot.
On
and I'm
beds?
Like, I don't need another app that gives me brain rot. I don't need that.
I'm only getting people that I follow.
So see, from a business perspective, you need to jump on these things when they're fresh.
Mate, I'll be on
We're
it.
On it.
I'll be on
I'm
it.
I'm rinsing it.
I'll be using it. I post on Twitter anyway. I'm just going to post the things that I post on Twitter. I'm going to post them on Threads. The things that I post on Instagram Reels, I'm going to post on TikTok and YouTube Shorts.
I see the positives. I think you'll actually probably get a better understanding of people. People will probably be more authentic because of this, I think.
You think so?
Aye. 100%. People share their actual thoughts, which I don't think you get a lot.
You do on Twitter.
I know, but I'm talking about...
But you get the...
John, the voices on
Twitter as well.
John, they do use his Twitter, mate.
I they do.
You
do.
You do. Yeah. That's it. Now they're using Threads. Twitter was fucking last week. It's Threads. No. So you're going to get people sharing their kind of their thoughts that you don't get a lot on Instagram.
Yeah, I like... Really. So I like text-based things. Mm-hmm. I've grown to enjoy doing this fucking 75-hour thing. I've actually grown to enjoy reading. It's not like a task that I have to be like, oh fuck, I need to do this. Like, I'm just now actively jumping into my bed, or if I've not got something on the first thing in the morning, I'm just like opening a book. Mm-hmm. Or like, I like going on Twitter and
how is that going, by the way?
I'm loving it.
75 hard?
Like, I love it. Uh-huh. I genuinely do.
Have you noticed a difference?
I've noticed a difference in my ability to generate things that help with work. Just down to like reading shit. Mm-hmm. So like that, helping with like content creation. I'm enjoying the process of it, like training. Mm-hmm. I'm being more diligent with what I eat. I'm drinking more water, which is probably the biggest benefit. It's like, I'm drinking 4 liters of water and I'm trying to box off as quick as I can. I'm sometimes drinking more. That, I just like it. Mm-hmm. I do, I just like it. I think I've just probably lived my fucking life this way.
Fucking.
Don't miss alcohol, don't miss it at all. I'm going to go out on a limb here, I could probably never drink it ever again.
Wow.
Is there a next step? There isn't there?
There's different phases and stuff like that, but we can go into that in a different episode.
No, but no, I wouldn't say I think you should do it.
I'll probably see...
Shite bag if you don't.
I don't think you should wait.
There is planned breaks in it, but basically there's 75 hard and then there's three phases thereafter. You need to complete all of that within a 365-day window in order to complete the kind of live hard program, but we can fucking...
And then do you unlock the boss and you fight him?
You basically... You unlock the shiny card and you become...
Mark Zuckerberg appears and you fight him.
I think once I've done the whole 75 hard thing phase first, I'll like stop pushing it on my socials and that, and I'll go back to like
being a normal person,
doing my normal shit. I like it.
Wrap up there.
Yeah, man.
Yep. That was episode 49 of the No Rep podcast. It's been a pleasure, troops.
Yeah. Ciao.
Bye bye.